Hey, good evening. This is Russ Dizdar. Listen, 50,000 Muslims are coming to the capital on Friday, it looks like, and there's going to be a tremendous prayer summit by Muslims across the land and probably from out of the United States. So listen to all Americans right now and to many others around the world. This is a big issue because they've said that they're coming to the capital, and part of the call is a phrase that will be chanted again and again, and it's simply this: our time has come. Our time has come. Now listen, we're talking about the attributes of Allah. We're talking about the agenda of Allah. We opened this up yesterday on the Tuesday evening show. So we're going to talk tonight concerning some of the contrasts and attributes of Allah in comparison to God and to the Bible, to Christ, to some of the end time events. So if you're listening tonight, let me say again, welcome. My name is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. And listen, if you go there, there's hundreds of downloads of free materials, and it links to all of our sites. We have about 5 sites. We do a podcast every weekend. Let me tell you something. We are we're doing a thing called A Blaze for God beginning October 1st. If you go to shatterthedarkness.net, you're going to see that. I'll mention it all through October. But it's really simply 31 days ablaze and about becoming very strong in the Lord and becoming very powerful in Christ. The theme verse is out of Acts chapter 9, verse 22. After Saul of Tarsus got saved, he was filled with the Spirit of God. He began to minister and share Christ. And then, in verse 22, it says, he grew more and more powerful. So you can check that out. There are little 15-20-minute devotionals on a daily basis. And we hope that that's going to be a help. We're doing the series on the rise of Homo Satanus. That was going to be a course, but now we've just put it out there for everybody. It's going to be about 55 hours once it's all done. We're putting up a new one tomorrow dealing with the occult birth and conception of the Antichrist. That will be on the list. There's about 9 hours of it up right now. So you can get that also at shatterthedarkness.net. The new series, Discernment, we're putting up. We will not put a new one up for another week, but that will also have about 12, 13 sessions. There's a course now up, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and just take a look at all the things that are offered right now. If you'd like to get the newsletter weekly, write to us, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And again, during the show, you can write in a question. A few folks did the other day, and someone also wanted me to answer whether or not we thought that the young lady that was murdered at Yale University was an occult or satanic thing. Now, there's no talk about signs, symbols, but then again, in law enforcement, we are always trained, don't talk about that. So I just simply don't know. We don't have any inside information concerning that. None of it looks like an occult thing. The only possibility is to check the guy out for multiplicity. So that's just my answer there. I have nothing on any of the occult crime, and I have no one telling me otherwise, because people usually send me info or inside stuff like that. So I don't know. We'll keep an eye on it. We do know the lady out in Oklahoma, it was some kind of occult or satanic killing, the Pastor Daniels. And even law enforcement warned all ministers in the area about being careful, and we will keep our eye on that also. Hey, I want to tell you about the conference coming up, and we had one that was sponsored by Deb and others down in Mansfield back in June. This is going to be October the 23rd and the 24th. October the 23rd and the 24th, and it's called Demolishing Strongholds. Demolishing Strongholds. So you can go to the, again, site and see all that. And all the updated information, all of the series that we are doing right now. And listen, we are in a crazy time. Listen, right now, the summit has begun, and there's world leaders in, and it is an astounding time to see the President of the United States in his speech talk about all the issues, giving apologies again, and not mention at all, well, the fact that 6,000 missiles get shot into Israel every year and some of the other aggression around the world. Listen, there's aggression around the world in about 80-some percent of all the wars. Look at the Sudan, other places. I think that, again, Muslims, if you're listening tonight, and those in the Arabic countries, the issue is, again, there is a great aggression coming from that side. We've just seen a plot defused in New York, and it was going to be the attempted, just bringing explosions, bombings throughout the subway system, things like that. So there's alert here in the United States, and we're living in a world where the spiritual war that's behind the scene manifests in the physical. And there is violence, there is war, there is bloodshed. The Bible talks about living in a fallen world, living in a world where there is, we can call it crime. These are all, rape and destruction, like the Yale murder of a young lady. This is all sin against God, and we need to understand that there is accountability, and we will give an account. Hey, let me say again, welcome again to everyone in the different countries right now. Send me an email. Let me know where you're from sometime, because I get emails from countries and from individuals, and it's an exciting thing to know you're there listening, and many of you have written in questions. Now, I've tried to answer all those questions from yesterday today, and we try to get to all of them, but it's very, very true that with hundreds of them that I have here in front of me, I cannot get to all of them. We're going to try. Hey, we're also going to pray that we find hundreds and thousands of people who will say, you know what, we know that we must be. We've got to pray for America. We've got to pray for souls. We've got to pray against darkness. And that's part of our issue. We've not been trained understanding the authority of Christ, how to pray against dark powers. The scripture is very clear. The rise of satanic presence, manifestation, demonic powers corresponds with the rise of even earth changes, violence, war, the destabilization of the economics of the nations. And it seems like we all feel it in the air all around us, that sense of chaos and breakdown. Well, maybe you're a Muslim tonight listening, and I want you to know that when I talk about God, I'm talking about God that gives relief, removes guilt, removes fear, brings us into a personal relationship that is literally, the end of all the search, with absolute assurance of, eternal life, the gift of eternal life, and seeing God face to face. Now, that's quite different than Allah. I'm just going to tell you, it's quite different than what this being called Allah is talking about. And we'll get into that deeply here in just about 15 minutes. Want to mention to everybody that there were, up in New York, 60,000 that gathered for prayer. And I think that's a fantastic thing, and that needs to be reported. Listen, we need to realize that there are many. I've gotten others that have sent me notes on intercessory prayer teams and leagues all across the nation. We are in a battle in this country, and it's showing up in the political ideology. Which way will the culture go? And I'm going to tell you right now, I believe without a spiritual awakening, I mean like the kinds of powerful revival and impact that occurred with Wesley's, Whitfield, and Jonathan Edwards, the Great Awakenings, if we're not going to see that kind of massive impact to push back the tide then we may be close, very close, to the very brink of the chaos that comes before the rise, well, the rise of Anthropos Anamos. This is the man of lawlessness, the world teacher, according to Alice Bailey in the New Agers, and the Mahdi, according to Islamic scholars. Now, we're going to mention the Mahdi Friday night. We're going to talk about the Mahdi Friday night also and tell you that the Mahdi is the descriptions and the conditions for his coming to power, they correspond to the rise, character, and agenda of the coming Antichrist. So that's a very big concern. Very big concern. And I believe that wherever dark presence has gripped hearts, lives, nations, territories, that the communication, if it's coming from dark finite spirits, whether it's a psychologist who's writing a book called The Course of Miracles, feeling that a spirit is guiding her writings, or whether it's a territorial deity, a small g god, over an area that has gripped the land, the people, the law, the politics, everything, if it's from the dark side, it will begin to evidence itself. The dark side has a particular nature. The dark side has a particular agenda. There's no question in the nature of the dark side, they must oppose God. They must oppose Christ. They must oppose the Word of God. It is also true that the agenda of the dark side, once you see what God has given in Scripture as a heads up concerning the sequence of this satanic evolution, then you can begin to look, whether it's in the New Age, whether it's in Islam, whether it's in Albert Pike and the Masons, whether it's in the deep-seated Luciferianism throughout Europe and deeply here in the United States, you're going to see, if it's from the dark side, the nature of the dark side begins to show itself. And then the agenda begins to show itself. And all of the eggs are not in one basket when it comes to the satanic agenda. There is, I believe, in the air, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now, that word refers to those who have rejected Christ, shut the door on God, like Judas did. And that means their heart is open, their life is open, their will is a platform for a supernatural influence that guides them according to a very dark agenda. It includes the globalism that Barack Obama spoke about today. It includes this push for globalism that came out of the mouth of the President of the United States. Globalism should be the concern of all, because on the one hand, there's a mask about unifying humanity and ending war and bringing unity. But there is a spirit behind globalism that is going to drive itself right into the rise of the Antichristu and Antichrist. And the end of history as we know it, the last 7 years. So does that include? Listen, Muslims today, listen. You are loved by the living God. And the man behind this mic can say very clearly, I love you. And I know that I do. And my interactions with students here locally and others that are fully, you know, completely committed Muslims, I'll say very clearly, we've led Muslims to Christ. I had flown in here locally, Reza Safa, who was a radical Shiite Muslim, and he is a strong believer in Christ. He is a pastor. He has a book out that I recommend to all Muslims to read. It is called Inside Islam. Why did he convert? Why did he turn to Christ? What's the difference? Let me ask you a question. Do you know God personally? Do you know that you're totally forgiven? Do you know that you have the gift of eternal life? Do you know that the moment when you die, where will you go? And I'm going to tell you that this being called Allah will not give that to you. There will be no assurance, because from a finite being, there is no promise of what can come from only an eternal, infinite God. You've got to understand something. The whole issue with Allah did not come up but 600, 700 years after Christ. Oh, there was some obscure worship, but it wasn't until Muhammad rejected Christ, rejected Judaism, and eventually was engaged by this territorial spirit and said that particular angels came and communicated in the development of the Quran or words. And they are, by the way, they are inspired words. Please understand, they're inspired words, but they're not inspired by the Spirit of God. It's a different spirit. You see, fallen finite spirits cannot, because of their nature and because of their will, they cannot glorify God, reveal God for who He really is, tell the agenda of God. They have a different nature. They have a different agenda. And everything tells us from the inspiration or even the encounter that Muhammad had with this entity. Now there's a difference, and I want you to hear the contrasts tonight. Because when it comes, let me give you number one. We're going to go into the attributes in a few moments here, but let me touch on the contrast between the Bible and the Quran. When you deal with the Bible, you're dealing with 40 writers over a period of 1,600 years from three continents, three languages. Every single writer was in personal relationship with God. The inspiration of the Spirit of God guiding them brought them to their fullest awareness. They weren't in a trance. They didn't pass out. Their mind was not bypassed. The Spirit of God operated through redeemed individuals who were in personal relationship with God. Moses knew God. Jeremiah knew God. Isaiah knew God. The psalm writers knew God. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John knew God. And they all had relationship to God the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about all Scripture is inspired by God, there is this idea, this breathing out, this inspiration. So it's clear, the Spirit of God guided writers. And there is one nature, the attributes of God, the will of God, the agenda of God. God is a Savior. God is here to save. God is here to redeem. Now, there's a difference when it comes to the inspiration of the Quran. Again, after Muhammad would reject the teachings of Scripture, reject the Christ of Scripture, reject what Judaism was teaching. So there was a rejection of Old Testament, New Testament. And so we have now Muhammad in his search, but also in his battle, he lived a very tough and hard life. But all of a sudden he's engaged by a presence that begins to communicate and say that it's Allah and that an angel is giving him the information. So now we have one individual who doesn't, on a personal friendship level, know Allah. It's not the same kind of relationship that all the writers of the Bible had. If you read the Psalms, you're going to see psalm writers talking to God and getting answers. They're going to all talk about knowing God in a personal way, how God, they sought God and looked to God and shared their trouble with God, and God delivered them and God rescued them. And well, read Psalm 34. I sought the Lord and He answered me. and he delivered me from all my fears. Quite different here. The inspiration that comes to Muhammad is very much like the inspiration that guides Alice Bailey or Helena Blavatsky. It seems again to be a force, a presence that does not want the recipient to know exactly or to come into any kind of real personal relationship. Obviously, this being called Allah, as Muhammad received the revelations. And again, I'm going to tell you, yes, they're spiritual. Yes, they're real. Yes, they were supernatural. But they didn't come from God. So you have one individual receiving the bits and pieces along the way of his interactions. Obviously, in Daniel and in the New Testament, when Gabriel shows up and communicates truth that corresponds to the Bible, we're not going to find Gabriel hundreds of years later giving totally contrary information. As a matter of fact, Jesus warned, and the book of Galatians warns, that if even an angel would come and present a different gospel, a different Christ, you know, that nobody's to listen to that. There is warning that false prophets, false teachers, that even there would be this possible angel, fallen angel, showing up giving a different message. The message of the Quran in no way corresponds to all of Scripture. There is no Allah in the Old Testament. There is no revelation of Allah in any way, in any form, in the Old Testament or New. As a matter of fact, in other literature around the world, there's none. Because we're talking about a territorial, finite being. He's finite. Territorial, yes, big in the sense of the Persian Empire. That whole region. But finite still. And again, the way in which inspiration occurred, at times, you can read this. This is true among Islamic writers. You can read a book called Islamic Invasion by Dr. Robert Mori. Now, I know that Muslims don't like that book, and they've threatened his life. But here is somebody that's brought out, I mean, in detail, and there's many others, too, that have done the same. Joel Richardson's book, Antichrist, Islam's awaited Messiah, same thing. There are factors that we can look into. And real Muslims, listen, you need to study factors and look at things. And I'm going to tell you right now, when it all comes down to it, the God that I speak about can bring you peace, can bring you forgiveness right now. You can come into personal relationship and know God in a personal way and know the living and know the gift and have the assurance of eternal life. But we need to know that there is a contrast. The Bible is inspired by the Spirit of God in a very unique way. On a human scale, it's unprecedented in its manuscript, archaeological, historical verification is off the charts in comparison to any other manuscript of their time. When it comes to the Quran, we all know, anybody can do the studies, the massive historical mistakes and issues. We know that the Quran is written by one individual who didn't know God, didn't know Christ, was not guided by the Spirit of God, but instead by another presence. That presence, again, whether it's Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, and other individuals who have written, guided by fallen, dark, finite spirits. Now I'm going to just tell you what the Spirit of God said. In the book of Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1, it is said that the Spirit of God, expressly, clearly, plainly, it means, says that in the latter times, seducing spirits would come, and the goal is to deceive, to bring about what is called their didache, teachings. teachings that come out of the demonic. So there's the prediction from 2,000 years ago that coming up through history would be seducing spirits, and we're seeing it in an unprecedented way today. But listen, if it is a seducing spirit from the dark side, they cannot write or reveal anything about the living God at all. They're at war with him. They are on the outside. Their nature and their will be in opposition. Their goal would be to bring seduction, deception, and inspired writings. That's right, inspired didache. So either the Quran has come from God, or it's come from it's didache of demons. And it's not about just, you know, screaming that out or sharing that or saying that. The issue is, who's behind the inspiration of the Quran? If Allah is behind the inspiration of the Quran, we're going to find out that through one man, that the revelations that are given in the Quran, which are spirit-inspired revelations, do not match the entirety of the scripture in Old Testament and New. They do not match the 300 prophecies and revelations of the Old Testament that refer to the coming of Jesus Christ the first time, of Emmanuel in human flesh. There's no mention of Muhammad in the Old Testament. There's no prophet there that said, hey, another one's coming, his name's Muhammad. Isaiah doesn't do that. Jeremiah doesn't do that. Moses doesn't do that. The psalm writers don't do that. Everything in the Old Testament points to the coming of Messiah, Christ, Jesus Christ. Everything in the New Testament brings revelation to that. Read the book of Matthew and you'll see again and again and again where it's going to say, it has been fulfilled. There's no prophecy of Muhammad or the Quran in the Old Testament. And there is no fulfillment of anything about Allah, the Quran, or Muhammad in the New Testament. So it's very important that we see the vast difference here in the scriptures, which, by the way, for any Muslim, anyone in Islam, may I encourage you, because you can go online, you can get a free Bible just about anywhere. You're allowed. I know that you've been, you know, basically it's been instilled in you with fear not to read it, not to study it, only to listen to teachers or, you know, those who've taught you about it. But on your own, do you want to read it on your own? Do you want to learn on your own? Do you want to see what it says? Because in the entire Old Testament and in the New Testament, there's not one single revelation about Allah, one single word about Muhammad. There's massive information about God's love for humanity, about the Christ coming, about the cross that's going to occur, about the second coming of Christ, about total forgiveness, about a personal relationship with God, and that God is summoning humanity, and that God loves all people, the Arabic people also. And you got to know that. And you got to know that right now it might be by sheer providence of God, a sheer providence of God, that you're listening. That you're listening to these words that may anger some. But maybe where you're at right now, in the heart of hearts that God created, it's where God can come into you. Now here's where it comes down to the attributes of the being called Allah. Here's one of the issues. You got to realize something, that Allah literally is unknowable. He's non-personal and he's non-spiritual. Now, I'm giving these three words off page 59 of the book Islamic Invasion. I mean, they're absolutely true. I know them from reading the Quran. I know them from reading many other materials. I know them from talking to Muslims from Saudi Arabia and Iran that were here, asking them their personal experience They say when they're in the mosque, they feel a mighty presence. Let me tell you what I know. I feel the presence of God inside me. I know the personal presence of God. I know that Jesus Christ not only died on the cross, but he rose from the dead, ascended, and the Bible teaches that whosoever anywhere in the world that believes on and accepts Christ as Lord and Savior, they are instantly forgiven, guilt is removed, Christ comes into their life, God comes into your life, the gift of indestructible immortality is given. Can I tell you right now? Can I tell you right now that I've never met a Muslim that can say that they have peace with God, that they know God personally, that they know for sure that if they die right now, they're going to heaven. Finite spirits cannot give that. I'm just going to tell you experientially on this side of the fence that when a person gives their heart and their life to God, that God comes in and brings an internal witness, the same Spirit of God that spoke through Isaiah about the coming of Emmanuel, Christ, 700 years before he came, the same Spirit of God that led the psalm writer in Psalm 16 1,000 years in advance to predict the resurrection of Christ, the same Spirit of God that caused the conception in the womb of Mary, that Gabriel testified to, that the prophets testified to, that the Spirit of God obviously witnessed to, and that the New Testament writers all in unison witnessed to. Born, conceived of the Spirit of God, God in human flesh. And every attribute of God was seen in Christ, all the way to the cross. So if you can begin to see that there is a vast contrast between the Bible and the Quran, two things are sure. One, they've been both inspired spiritually, supernaturally. One from the Spirit of God, and the other from finite dark presence because of the nature and the agenda. There is another thing. They both cannot be true. You cannot fit them together. They do not fit. They are of different source. There is complete different revelation. Everything that the Bible says about God, salvation, the second coming, eternal life, the cross, is totally contrary do everything the Quran reveals about Allah, about salvation by works, about the afterlife. Everything is different. So when you contrast Bible and Quran, totally different. And anybody that's going to be and say that they are a Muslim and that you won't even study and read the scriptures and read the Gospel of John and read the book of Mark and look for yourself to let God speak to you. If you're living just in fear, who instilled the fear? Who doesn't want you to read on your own? Are you not free to choose? Are you not free? I believe that God says that we are free to choose, that God summons, and that by the special arrangement, the providence of God right now, right this very moment, it may be that God is summoning you very clearly, calling you home to him, to God, to a personal relationship. Let me give you the second thing real quick here tonight. The second thing is this. Contrast, if you would, Jesus and Muhammad. Now, I know that there are those that say, you know, Islam reveres Jesus. Let me tell you the truth. The Quran absolutely reframes Jesus, strips him of his deity and strips him of his saviorhood and strips him of the power of the cross the exact same way that the ascended masters that guided Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, Albert Pike, any of those occult writers have done the exact same thing to Jesus that Muhammad does in his writings. Muhammad never knew Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Jude, they all knew Jesus. They all had the Spirit of God in them. They were all in personal relationship. They had been forgiven. And they've all written the same thing about salvation by faith alone, by the grace and mercy and will of God. God wants, God wills. He loves. When one individual comes to Christ, repents and comes to Christ, the Bible teaches, Jesus said, all of heaven rejoices. The great joy across all of heaven. God, there's great joy. So you got to know that. You got to know that that's such a contrast. Jesus Christ is spoken about in the Old Testament over 300 times. He's talked about his coming into the world, being born in Bethlehem, being born of a virgin, that there would be a person like Judas that would betray him for 30 pieces of silver, that he would go to the cross, that he would rise from the dead, that he would provide. Look at Isaiah 53. And may I say to those who are Israeli, you got to keep looking over and over and over and over and over again Isaiah 53. It's not talking about a nation. It's talking about a person who loves you, who wants you. As a matter of fact, to anyone listening, whether you're New Ager, even those who listen are Luciferian in your origin because you monitor the show to see what we reveal. Well, the good news is this. I know God's omniscience, presence, power in what God's up to. He's up to drawing you in. Does God want to convince you that He loves you, that you need to come and you can find His love, forgiveness, presence, power, and gift of eternal life? You better believe it. Bible teaches us where God says, come, let us reason together. So there's a big contrast between the Bible and the Quran. There's a massive contrast between, let's take a look again at Jesus, born of a virgin. He had never sinned. Out of his mouth, he never slew anybody. The Bible teaches all the way through that he never sinned. Nobody ever charged him with it. And look at his life. He walked on water. Creation obeyed him. Sickness obeyed his command. The demons trembled at him and him alone and knew who he was. They confessed who he was. They knew. So you have all of nature, creation, you have sin, you have sickness and disease, all coming under the authority and bowing to the, and yielding to the infinite authority and life of Christ. You have Jesus Christ going to a cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Look at the cross. For every Muslim, every occultist, you've got to see that the pivotal point of Old and New Testaments all point you to the cross. Something occurred there. For the Luciferians, Lucifer didn't die for you. He didn't sacrifice anything, but he does ask you to sacrifice others or yourself for him. When it comes to Allah, he does not incarnate. It's very clear he does not say he will not incarnate. Because a mere territorial demonic presence can't. So when it comes to the contrast between Christ and Muhammad, look at Muhammad now. Look historically at a man who did engage war, who did slay people. At a man that married numerous women. I mean, if you take a look at the life of Muhammad, you see sin. You see no early declarations of sinlessness. You see no early declarations in the Quran. None, zero of any miracles. Creation didn't bow to him. The demons didn't fear him. Sickness and disease at a command didn't leave. Look at the two vast, vast different persons they were. Hundreds had seen the ascension of Christ. Everything about the New Testament tells us about the second coming of Christ. Anyone listening right now, listen, the New Testament doesn't speak an iota about Allah or Muhammad. So there's a vast contrast between the Bible and the Quran. Vast contrast between Jesus Christ and Muhammad. Muhammad didn't go to a cross. He didn't give his life for anybody. And then there's a vast contrast between how to get to God. In the attributes of Allah, he does not let, you know, you cannot know him. He's non-personal, non-spiritual. He's non-relational to you. And so he's not going to come to you and want a personal relationship. We find that in Scripture, God wants to reveal himself, make himself known, show himself. Everything about the person of Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, is God showing himself in every ounce. That's why he's called the light of the world. And there is nothing but revelation, nothing but God wanting to bring a person into relationship. Now listen, this is for Muslims, where in the Bible, the book of Timothy chapter 2, when we pray for you and others to be saved, to come to Christ, what are we praying for? Are we praying for a good thing for you? Yes. As a matter of fact, the Spirit of God in the Bible says, this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wills all, pas anthropos, all humanity, for you to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That tells you that God desires you, that God wants you. That's a vast and different concept. Do you know Allah personally? No. Have you come into personal contact and relationship? No. Has he come to dwell within your life? No, because the Quran would teach in the attributes of Allah that he doesn't incarnate. He doesn't come into anybody. You know why? He's a territorial being. As I suggested Wednesday night, or Tuesday night rather, last night at the 7 o'clock hour, that Allah... Listen, Allah, I contend, is the Prince of Persia that was spoken about in the book of Daniel. The prince or the ruler of the entire region of Persia did not die, did not go away any more than Moloch did. When it comes to understanding that world of the principalities, the powers, the cosmocrators, all those, you've got to understand the demonic side doesn't die. You can shut their access off. When a human being who is possessed with a demon dies, the demon doesn't stay in the physical body. The demon doesn't live in a dead body. It leaves looking for someone else. It's not so much the physical body that it's able to enter into as it is the person, the soulical side, when rights are given. So I want to say that the contrast between the Bible and the Quran are vast. The contrast between Jesus Christ and Muhammad are vast. Two totally different people. And then the contrast between... Well, Jesus talks about that he himself will come to live in you. You could read this. Mark it down. Gospel of John, chapter 17. Jesus says that I myself would be in them. I've known Jesus for 35 years. A little over 35 years ago, one night when I prayed, like the Word of God says, I accepted Christ, the living Christ. Friend, Muslim, and everyone else, Christ is alive. He's alive from the dead. He rose. He ascended. He's here today for you to come to know him. That's why thousands and thousands of Arabs have come to Jesus all over. And I know that they are living in lands where they are either sometimes killed or churches are blown up. Look at the threat. The threat just from knowing Jesus Christ and believing in Jesus. It tells me something about the character of Allah and what he is. Muhammad did not teach the truth. Moses and Samuel and Isaiah and the Psalm writers and Jeremiah and Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul and Jude, all the writers, they all taught one story of Jesus Christ. God in human flesh, Savior of the world, sinless, born of a virgin, died, rose from the dead, ascended on high, going to return in great power. Muhammad did not teach any of that. Muhammad did not know Jesus. Muhammad did not have the Spirit of God indwelling him. And because of that, like in all man-made or, you know, demonically inspired, I'm saying when the fallen spirits inspire religion for mankind, it doesn't come out as grace and mercy. It comes out as works. That you've got to somehow work your way, and that somehow, maybe, somehow you might arrive, somehow you might be able to get there. I've never met a Muslim that is assured of eternal life. But I'll tell you what God the Holy Spirit, want me to tell you what God the Holy Spirit said to all those? Doesn't make any difference whether in China or Russia or up in New Zealand or down in South Africa. Doesn't make any difference where you're at. Anyone who believes on the living Christ and receives the living Christ in their life, guess what happens? In 1 John chapter 5, you can look it up yourself and read this. Where God writes to believers in Christ, anyone who believes and receives Christ, says this, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. You ever read that chapter? I want to encourage you. There are some people out there that maybe have never read chapter 5 of 1 John and what God says. I want you to know tonight that I sense in my heart, my life, I have a sense and even a sense of seeing by the Spirit of God, a Muslim woman listening and hearing these words, that God personally loves you. That right now, where you're at, you can ask Jesus. Even if you have little earphones plugged in and you got it connected to an internet, right now you can pray, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe on you. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. He'll come into your heart and life. He'll release you from the inside out. I'm just telling you the sense that I have by the Spirit of God. There's particularly a Muslim woman listening. And you know the hard life and fear you've lived in. And I'm going to tell you that my name is Russ Dizdar. The website is shatterthedarkness.net. My email is shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And I want you to write me. And I have materials for you. And I want you to know that God loves you, that in coming to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God can guide you, the Spirit of God can lead you to find others. I can tell you about Reza Safa, the former Shiite Muslim, who struggled and feared, but finally opened his heart, opened his life, and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We can talk about the contrasts of the Bible and the Quran, contrasts of Muhammad and Jesus, contrasts of salvation by faith alone in Christ, or in some obscure works, never knowing. But nothing can be more pointed than this. Everything the Bible says, everything that Jesus is, does, screams out to you that God personally loves you. God personally engages you, summons you. Doesn't make any difference who you are, where you're at. Some might be listening tonight and saying, you know what? I'm not a Muslim. You got to again remember out of 1 John chapter 2 what we said on Tuesday night. That Jesus Christ is the halosmos. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Christ died for the whole world. It's the Greek words pos anthropos, all humanity. God desires you. God summons you. You can read about it in the book of Acts when Paul preaches to the Stoic and Epicurean philosophers and all the intellectuals, when he reveals to them that God is summoning all people everywhere to come to Christ, to come into a personal relationship where the Spirit of God can come in right now, wherever you are, receive Christ. For those that are believers out there, listen, we need to join in prayer. We need to join in prayer and pray for the nation that we live in. We need to join in prayer and pray against, with the authority of the living Christ, pray against deception and seduction and where the dark spirits guide people back into bondage. New Agers, there's no question that you're experiencing real spiritual things. Do they come from God? You see, if it comes from God, it leads you back into personal relationship with God. The elect angels all point to Jesus. All of Scripture, old and new, points to Christ. But I guarantee you that dark fallen spirits, they're called planos in Timothy 4:1. Imposters. They cannot and will not teach you the truth about Jesus. So if they have given you a different message, if a different message has come and told you, well, he's not God, he's only a psychic, he's only a little, teacher, he's just a little master, he's just a little prophet, that's all he is, it's because they don't want you to see what Isaiah said 700 years before he came. That Emmanuel would come, born of a virgin. They don't want you to know that the angels of God bowed and worshipped and sang worship songs over him. Worshipped him as God. In a day in which unprecedented spiritual deception is gripping the world and guiding it, on the one hand, it's going to lead. Listen, two things are going to happen here shortly. Everything's going to break loose. All hell will spill out and great chaos will come. And there will be a sense that annihilation is coming because skirmishes and battles and the great chaos, the Black Awakening, as underground Satanists call it, will all occur. The collapse of the West is predicted. But it's all about collapsing everything, bringing things to its knees, Because there is in waiting right now, I believe, a different regime with one of the most supernaturally empowered beings in all of human history, except for Jesus himself. The New Agers world teacher. The ufologists, supernatural extraterrestrial entity. The Islamic scholars, Mahdi. The old Luciferians. Well, the coming bright one. Or those from the old black flame of the Nazis cry for another Führer, a world leader. When they speak of globalism, folks, the spirit that guides the development of globalism is the spirit that has initiated a counterfeit conception and the forging of the Antichrist. No doubt that he's around. No doubt that there's a bulging of the spiritual seams and a desire to take rule. So to all of you tonight, just want to say, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. Our hour is just about up. And again, I have a question that has come in tonight. We're going to answer it Friday concerning the color of the stones. We'll touch on that. Others have asked how much the conference in Mansfield is going to cost. Listen, the cost of the Mansfield conference, October 23rd and 24th, is, I think, pre-registration, which registration won't even start probably till October 1st, but pre-registration, $40, and then the after the 18th of October, $55. And that means at least 5, 6, 7 hours of teaching and training. And I'll get more than 5 hours of that teaching and training that I'll get to do. And so I hope that you can come to Mansfield, Ohio in October of this year. It's about a month away, the 23rd and the 24th. I want to say again, thank you for coming here. Thank you to Steve Quayle. Don't forget survivetothrive.net and the tremendous programs that go on from 7 to 8 o'clock. We'll see you again on Friday night at 6 p.m. when we'll kind of finish on this topic, calling you to prayer. May the living Christ bless you.